What do taxes and music have in common? More than a little, as it turns out. As WRTI's Meredy Duddleston learns, a hefty tax can be the demise of one form of musical entertainment and spur the growth of another.
Okay, it's just one of several contributing factors. But a 30% wartime tax on the receipts of clubs with live singing and dancing and dining helped usher swing bands out of the dance hall and pave the way for the evolution of bebop. But Congress wasn't thinking about creativity when it passed what was called the cabaret tax in 1944 to increase wartime revenues. And, says Chris Jones, a tax attorney at the law firm Ballard Spahr, the tax wasn't aimed at curbing behavior, like, say, the cigarette tax.
I think that the idea was not to shut things down. It was to take advantage of something that was popular by using something that was popular as a source for revenue.
Jones, who's also a Philadelphia volunteer lawyer for the arts, says ballrooms and clubs tried to skirt the business-busting combination. Lip-syncing to recorded songs was one option, but once all the rage, dance bands fell out of favor. Jones says that unintended consequence may have been different if Congress had picked a lower number.
But also, I think in a way, it probably was self-defeating in that Congress probably made the tax too high. So instead of accomplishing what they wanted to do, which was let's get a little boost to the government, what they did was they changed behavior enough that their eventual collections were less than anticipated. And that's, you know, probably why the tax hung on for another 20 years.
Dropping from 30 to 20% and later to 10%, the cabaret tax eventually lost steam and was eliminated in 1965. But in the meantime, jazz performed strictly for listening, first in the form of bebop, found a friendly forum and a place to grow.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.